every area of our life. And so if you want to send me emails or whatever, just go ahead. That's fine. That's fine. It's all right. And we're not going to lose our tax exemption for doing what we just did. We're not. We can do a whole lot more than we're doing. And we're allowed by that, allowed that by law. And we're so thankful for that. Well, let's talk for a few moments about eternally regretting something or eternally rejoicing about serving Jesus Christ and rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look with me at verses 9 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." We find the revealing, we find the rewarding, and we find regretting here in this passage. And the work of God is trusted to us. It is trusted to us, but it is tested by God. It is revealed, and the day shall declare it. The day, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of his eyes. It's thought that perhaps even when the Lord Jesus Christ looks upon our work and our labor for Christ, the eyes of fire, that it would try our works. I'm not going to spend much time on that which is regretted. It is typified and pictured here as wood, hay, and stubble, combustible items. Nothing but ash that is left. Nothing but ash. But I'm thankful that as gold, silver, and precious stones, as the picture that is given here, the gold is usually and normally a picture in the Word of God. It's an example, an illustration of deity. An example of deity. How can I be more like my Savior? That's what we should be asking ourselves. How can I be more like Jesus Christ? How can I be more like Him who gave His all for me? How can I be more like my Savior? This is a worshiping heart. A worshiping heart. Don't go through the motions. Don't just come to church. Now, I'm thankful for folks coming to church on Sunday night and on Thursday night. Not just morning glories, but they're here bringing their family. You say, "Well, I don't need to be in church. I know everything that preacher knows." Well, you probably do. You probably know more than I know. But you know what? Somebody here needs you. Somebody here needs to be encouraged. Somebody here, when they look around, they see that your seat is occupied and that you're holding that hymn book and you're singing the praises of the Lord. It encourages them to go on because, you see, you're a pillar of spiritual truth. You're a strong Christian, and it tells them, if they need to be here, I need to be here too. So you're setting a good example. And to be more like Jesus, how can I be more like the Savior? And then silver, it reminds us of currency. Silver does, doesn't it? You know, you reach in your pocket, you got dimes and nickels and quarters. And this was such in the day of a not just a worshiping heart, but a working heart. How can I do more to serve? It is true that 10% of the people in the church does seem to do 90% of the work. Isn't that the case? At least it feels that way, right? Now, I don't think it's that bad in this church. I really don't. But truly, the ones working the most outnumber the number that are just kind of sitting and enjoying. And that's going to be in any church. But I don't think it's 90% and 10% here. But you know, wouldn't it be just marvelous if on these days that we're going and handing out door hangers, inviting people, wouldn't it be marvelous if we had a huge turnout? Because you see, if we've got two legs that still work, if we've got two arms that still work, we can walk up and down the sidewalk, down the street, and we can put a door hanger on a door. And it might be that dear mama, that's her wit's end. with her two little ones. She doesn't know what to do. And she sees this joy story on the door. She thinks, wow, this would be 2 or 3 hours that they would be loved by someone else. And maybe they don't go to church anywhere. And someone cared enough to invite them in that way. How can I do more to serve? And then the precious stones. Precious stones, they're beautiful, aren't they? Diamonds and rubies and emeralds and all these things that are mentioned in the Word of God in the book of Revelation. The beauty of a worthy heart. How can I reach more souls? How can I reach more souls? Stones are beautiful. What is something more beautiful than a little baby? Don't you enjoy going there to the birthing center and you look through the glass of the nursery and you see the precious little ones? You can't hear them crying, so all that you see is just the precious little ones. And I believe that God made little babies beautiful and so that we'd want to help them because they need our help. You know, they can't do anything for themselves. What is more beautiful? I think in our eyes, but more importantly, in the eyes of the Savior, of someone who has just trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'll tell you, folks, when I got saved, I didn't know much. I was a little boy. But I had a peace in my heart that everything's going to be okay. That if I died, that heaven's my home. No greater thing than that, than pointing people to Jesus Christ. How can I reach more souls? 5 crowns are mentioned in the Bible. I'm going to go through these quickly. And I want to remind you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Jot down that reference. It's not on your paper there. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, I meant to do that, and I was going to, preacher. You can count on me. I aim to do that. Some people aim and never shoot, you know. They never do. They never pull a trigger. They never actually follow through. They say, I ought to go on visitation. Yeah, yeah. I ought to be a soldier of the cross. I ought to read my Bible. I ought to pray. I'm going to. I really am. According to that, he hath done. Let me just, along that thought, let me suggest to you something. You want to really do a lot of things for God. Sometimes you say, I want to do so much that I don't have time to do it right now. I'll do it tomorrow. Why don't you just decide you're going to spend 5 minutes in God's Word? Just make a deal with yourself. 5 minutes. That's all. Anybody can do 5 minutes, right? And here's what you'll find. At about 12 minutes later, you'll be looking at your watch thinking, wow, that time went fast. That was good. And God will bless you that day, and God will guide you that day, and God will give you a better blessing in following His will. According to that, He hath done, because we must all appear. 5 crowns. Brother Wade, if you read for us here the shepherd's crown, 1 Peter 5:2-4. Stand and read that for us, if you will.
Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being as samples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory.
Amen. The shepherd's crown. Now, listen, folks, you might say, well, that sounds like a crown for pastors. I believe that is a crown that pastors could hope to receive one day. But I don't believe it's probably just for pastors. What about this? What about Sunday school teachers that shepherd their class? What about junior church workers that shepherd those children? What about ladies ministry? What about shut-in ministry, reaching out to them and shepherding and meeting the needs and taking care of widows and all these kind of things, taking care of God's flock? Never think for a moment that goes unseen or ignored by our shepherd, the great shepherd of our souls. The reward for shepherds, the crown of glory. And then, Brother John, if you'll read for us 1 Thessalonians 2:18-20, the soul winner's crown.
Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy, or crown of rejoicing,
Folks, when you have opportunity to point someone to Jesus Christ, what a joy, what a crown, what a blessing of Almighty God. I don't know a greater joy spiritually. That now I know when our three were born, what a exciting moment that was for me, each and every one of them. And it was an emotional, and it touched every part of your body, you know, tears running down your cheeks and excited and scared and all that kind of thing all together. But when you see someone invite Jesus Christ into their heart and life, and you realize that they understand for the first time that they're going to spend eternity in heaven because you made a difference in their heart and their life, that's a crown of rejoicing, folks. And I believe that God's going to recognize that. Reward for soul winners. Reward for suffering. James 1:12. Pastor Jim, would you read that for us, please?
James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Amen. God says, when my grace is seen in your life, that means in your body, that means in your soul, in everything that people can examine and see. They see Jesus Christ radiating that he has a crown of life in times of suffering, reward for suffering. Folks, we don't just have to make it through as best we can and think that somehow, some way, it'll just be a little hiccup in eternity. No, there's a crown for suffering. Number four. A reward for self-control. Brother Ben Wynn, read 1 Corinthians 9, 25-27.
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, though be an incorruptible. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a pastor.
An incorruptible crown, the Bible says. One that passeth not away. Reward for self-control. People compete in the Olympics, but they have to compete lawfully. They have to stay within the rules, in the boundaries. How many times have I been excited when my football team, let's say, as the guy is in the end zone and the pass is coming in and he reaches up and he's got it and he catches it, and he holds on to it, but his feet are out of bounds. An incorruptible crown is offered to those who keep self in control in their life. Folks, we serve the Lord Christ. We are going to give an account. And never forget that Moses did not get to go into the promised land because he got angry at the people who were angry at him. And he got angry and he exerted that anger and he smote the rock when God said, "Speak to the rock." It cost him the victory of getting to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. We must strive lawfully, the Bible says. Self-control, reward for self-control. And last, the reward for steadiness. Brother Paul, read that for 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord of righteousness, God, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love him appear.
Amen. Now, folks, you have at least five crowns. I'm not trying to indicate to you for one moment that these are the only crowns that God is going to give. I believe that there are going to be surprises and wonderful things that God is going to reveal at the judgment seat of Christ for believers. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers. And it's where the rewards, the Bema seat, it's like the tiers of the Olympics and these kinds of things. Our sins were paid for and judged at the cross. But our work that is done for ourselves, guess what? That's worthless work. And it's going to be burned up and gone and just nothing but ashes at that point. It won't be remembered throughout eternity. But that which is done for Jesus Christ, for His glory alone, and not for our own pride, and not for our own pat on the back, but that Jesus Christ will be shared and radiated to others. Don't live your life. Let me encourage you to not live your life looking for, I got to hang on because I want that crown of life. That's what I want. I gotta do this and have self-control because I want that crown of righteousness and all that kind of thing. You live with your eyes focused upon Jesus Christ. You love on Him, as I said this morning. You worship Him. You serve Him. You let the Holy Spirit nudge you, direct you, and guide you every step of the way, every day, in every way. You say, Lord, I want to do Your will. I want You to be in charge of my life. And you don't do it for a crown. But guess what? God is going to reward you. I'm just telling you, He's told us about it in His Word. And He illustrated that in the parable of the stewards and the talents. And he told us that there's a day coming. I'll close with this. Last year, we went out to see our youngest son, David, as he graduated. And so we're standing standing there and seeing him come down the aisle with all the other graduates. We sit down, we go through the whole program, all that kind of thing. And he goes across the platform like so many do, and he received his diploma, his degree, and goes and takes his seat. And then they start going through some other things that they had and some other recognitions and things of that nature. And got down to the end, and they said, we have one more award to give. And this is the President's Award. And, you know, I'm looking at my watch. I'm looking at the program and that kind of thing. And they describe what the President's Award is and how they kind of try to judge that and these kinds of things. And they said, would David Sears please come? I said, oh, no. I grabbed my phone. I ran down the aisle. Ran down the aisle, went to the front, you know, and I'm thinking, I got to get this. Listen, folks, that day when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords says, Frank Jorgensen, come on down here, please. When he calls your name and he says in front of everyone and the angels, he says, thank you for your service. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you when you reached out for those teenagers and those little ones and those widows and the shut-ins and when you were faithful in my house, I saw that every time. And when you had the headache and when you had the backache and when you could barely pull yourself out of bed, you decided you were going to continue being in your place of service and you're going to teach the Word of God. I saw that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It'll make it all worthwhile. Eternal rewards. Or may it not be so. But some will have eternal regrets. Boy, I wish I would have. And I thought that bowling thing was all that important. I thought that ball game was so important. I thought my hobby was so important. I thought camping was the answer. I thought this was, you know, I'm not saying any of those things are bad. And I could list 100 of them. But whatever it is that pulls us away from the best, Satan's saying, okay, someone else is not going to be reached through him or her. Eternal rewards or eternal regrets, it is our choice. It's our choice. Nobody can make it for us. It's up to us. Let's stand together, please. Thank you so much for coming tonight, Heavenly Father. I pray now that we would make a decision today to honor you in our life. Not because, and not for the purpose of receiving rewards from you. But Lord, may that be in the back of our mind that you are watching and you're not going to miss and forget one thing. But Lord, may we do it out of a heart of devotion and love for you. So thank you, Lord, that you pulled back the curtain just a bit to show us what's going to happen when we get on the other side of glory. And I ask you now that you would meet with us every day as we come to meet with you. Lord, may we sense your love. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're not going to have a come forward invitation. But I ask you tonight, your faithfulness to God Your faithfulness past the unfaithfulness of others. The harsh word. The gossip that someone may say about you. What you think they're saying about you. These boys and girls, they're watching your life. You rise above all that. You fly over those attacks of Satan. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, would you please? Heavenly Father, I ask you now that we would surrender anew and afresh. May there be moms and dads, grandparents. May the young people would understand and realize they're going to stand and give an account one day. We all are. Help us to make the right decisions today. For your honor and glory, we pray. Bless our fellowship together now. I think you'll be pleased as your family fellowships together. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a Mary Supper of the Lamb coming. So, Lord, thank you for your blessing and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.